CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
F-Files.
Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Hi, it's Sophie, in for the F-Files this morning on CKUT. On this episode, you'll be listening to an interview I had with Eve Parker Finley. Eve Parker Finley is a noted Montreal multi-instrumentalist and upcoming indie pop superstar. Braiding a dense and deliberate web of string arrangements and classical naturalism into a former raver's penchant for programmed beats and four-on-the-floor grooves, Finley has been a mainstay in the Montreal independent scene for nearly a decade. Her debut album, Chrysalia, released December 4th with the Floraphone Records and Coax Records. It was a pleasure to get to talk with her, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Wait, I can't hear you, but I think it's because I'm doing a thing. How about now?
Can you hear me now?
Yay, yes.
But yeah, do you want to start by introducing yourself?
Sure. I am Eve Parker Finley, Libra Sun, Sag Rising, Sag Moon. I am a musician and multimedia creator, person, and occasional nouveau Instagram comedian.
Well, welcome. I'm so happy that we're getting to talk together. So before we really get into it, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the music that you're working on right now. I know that you're debuting your first album, Chrysalia.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it right?
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear a little bit about what's going on into this project and how you feel now that you're on the brink of this new release.
The brink is a great word to use. I definitely feel on the brink. My first debut album, Chrysalia, comes out December 4th with Floraphone and Coax Records. And they're all songs I've been writing for a couple years. I recorded them last summer. And now it's finally time to birth her into the world. And I'm so excited. There's a few things that I really, that I like to talk to people about in relation to the album. First, to explain the name. So it's called Chrysalia for three reasons. One is the idea of a chrysalis, which people think of as this really safe place that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. But really a chrysalis is what happens inside the chrysalis is gross and disgusting, and the caterpillar has to turn into goo and lose all of its shape through this weird chemical process and then becomes a butterfly. So I like that metaphor. Second reason is when I was looking for obscure words that I could use to inspire the name of the album, I came across this word chrysalism, which means the feeling of pleasure or joy that you get from being inside during a thunderstorm.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It's this particular emotion word that I really was really drawn to. So those two reasons, plus I just wanted it to sound feminine and plural, because I want all the songs on the album to try and elicit those two feelings in some sort of way.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm so glad that you told me about that. I was going to ask you about the name and where that came from, because it really stood out to me as something mm-hmm. seemingly very beautiful and intentional. I love Chrysalia. Is that it?
Or Chrysalia. I don't know. Like, however people want to say it. I've been saying it as Chrysalia, but...
Chrysalia.
Chrysalia.
Amazing. I wanted to... So you recorded most of these songs last summer. Mm-hmm. And now you're birthing them in the winter. What does that make them? Scorpio babies?
Oh. Interesting. Well, no, it'll be out December... Oh yeah, December 4th. I guess that is Scorpio, is it?
Nice. Good energy. yeah, I just wanted to know a little bit more about like your process of like working on these songs, and if it was mostly you or if you did any certain collaborations within it.
For sure. So before this album, I've made a couple little EPs under a different stage moniker, Lonely Boa. And that was my like very solo project. I would just play like violin and loops and beats and electronics and sing and stuff. And then with this album, I wanted to like this. Well, at first it's like a full album. It's like 10 songs. And I wanted to take a step away from being like a solo looping artist. And so I'm super happy that like I had my friends, Alexis, Castro Giovanni, and Gwen Kresnicki to play cello and viola on the album. So it's like a little little string quartet vibe. The person I worked with to record the album, Kai Brooks, the two of us like really like spent a lot of time together crafting it and recording it and making it. So I feel like they're a big part of the album too. And yeah, I was gonna say something else, hopefully smart sounding, and now I lost it.
I mean, that all sounded good to me. I was wondering, how long have you been living and working as a musician in Montreal music scene? I wanted to know a little bit about how you've seen the scene shifting and how you feel that might have influenced your own practice. You've already talked a bit about how you were working under another name, you didn't want to be a looping musician, but I'm interested in more of that.
Great question. It's funny because I had a friend rewrite my artist bio recently, and they gave it to me, and they were like talking about how I've like been here for almost a decade, and I was like, that can't be true. But then it totally is true. I've been in the city for like 9 years, which blows my mind. I feel like I've spent a lot of time playing and making music and going to see other people's shows and stuff during that time. And a lot of that is very influential on the music I make now. Especially like I often point to a few things as like points of inspiration in terms of the music I make. One of them being like a lot of the like very cool ambient music scene that I've like seen over the last number of years. Pop up that I think is very cool, like the drone sleepovers at the plant and things like that. That's definitely a point of reference or a point of inspiration. Also, like, you know, classic indie rock bands, I always secretly have such a soft spot for it. like I used to listen to, which is so connected back to like when I was like 16 and 17, like growing up in the countryside in Ontario, and like would have to drive 45 minutes to go do like violin lessons, I would like spend the whole time listening to like sad indie music, like The National and Arcade Fire and Broken Social Scene and stuff, and that's also very influential. But then there's also, I think, a big influence on me is also I used to I used to go to a lot of like dance parties and raves and stuff, especially in like the mid 2010s.
back then,
also like back when those, when partying was a thing more. Yes, those three points of influence, plus like my classical music upbringing, I think all combined to influence the kind of music I make now, which is sort of a constellation of those four things.
But that's like quite the whirlwind of influences to be taking into Chrysalis and then emerging out of it with.
That's the goo.
That's all the goo.
Yeah.
Did you also DJ at one point?
Yes, I have DJed a few times, mostly for like fundraising dance parties and things. I used to be a collective member of the Prisoner Correspondence Project for a few years, and I DJed a bunch of those like fundraising dance parties. And also for some Taking What We Need related parties. I was never like that good at it, but I loved DJing. That was really fun. It's so fun to like just, I mean, the way I approached it anyway was like just trying to make people feel good and want to dance for like an hour and a half. Like that is such, it's such an amount of power, and also like it's, when it works, it feels so amazing. When it doesn't work, it feels really bad. When you can like tell that people are like not having a good time, that is like the worst feeling ever.
No one's moving.
You're just like, oh my god, no one likes this song.
I feel like we're in this point with quarantine where we get to talk about like shows and dancing with this like deep nostalgia. But I know that you got a chance to play live at least at Pop Montreal, and I was wondering how you're feeling that change with the new restrictions working as a musician in a city.
Yeah, I mean, mixed. It was really special to be able to play a live show with a few humans for Pop. Outside on the Rialto rooftop, and it felt like it reminded me of like how big of a reason that activity is why I want to be a musician. And like a few people came up to me afterwards and spoke of similar feelings, that it like really is special to receive live music, and how that can't be replicated virtually. At the same time, I think there is like such an interesting explosion of like exploration in terms of like online and virtual like connection and creativity. And I think that's really cool. And I think that will continue afterwards. And it's also like long overdue in terms of like live streaming and stuff, I feel. But I also think as soon as it is possible to like play for people in real life, people are just going to do it again, because there's something very like spiritual and energetic about it. So I'm like sad about that. It's like really hard to not be able to do that. And it is definitely challenging in terms of like thinking about what is the next 3 months, 6 months, year, year and a half, 2 years gonna look like. And definitely like huge plan changes. I was supposed to go on tour myself and also play with a couple other friends' bands on tour this summer, which just like didn't happen, which is fine. So yeah, it's sad, but also at the same time, I was able to be in a position where I was able to take a lot of time to just like not work as much. And I think that was really beneficial for me personally. I came into the first lockdown in halfway through like a burnout leave from work. And then left work in the summer and lived the CERB life, which I loved God Bless the Server, but wish it just never ended. And actually that led to me writing a grant to take those songs and turn it into an album, which will be my second album sometime next year. And then I got that grant recently. Yeah, so I'm sad about all the things I was supposed to do, but also other things have come up.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing that like across the board, at least within our communities here, but in other aspects as well, of like a lot of doors closing, but new ones opening up. And I'm interested in what you were saying about, you know, like accessibility and live streaming that has popped up, and just giving an example of something that you've seen that you feel is doing it really right and mm-hmm. is really resonating.
There's a few, like, I thought, I think the hybrid model that like Pop did was cool. And I think all the artists felt we were very empowered to like choose an option of like having an audience or not that felt right and safe to us. And also it's cool, like I feel like part of the like culture of like a festival like Pop was always that you had to like rush around to like see all your friends and you couldn't see them all at once. But now they're like, they're still on the internet, so you can like watch your friends' shows later. I like love that. I really I think some festivals have created really cool like interactive platforms, including the Pop Funhouse, but also like the MuTech website was very interesting. That you could like skip between the different rooms and stuff. My parents run this music festival in Ontario called West Bend, and it's in like a big barn in like a field in Eastern Ontario, and they also went virtual and they created this like interactive site where you can like walk around the grounds. So I think all of those things are like really neat, and like everyone, like it's such a testament to that whole world, industry, whatever, that like the amount of change that people did in like a few months. It's only been like 8 months or whatever, or 10 months or 50 years, I can't remember, but but like how people like all of a sudden became like media houses in a way that they were not before is like so amazing and really, really cool.
I was just interested to know what you felt like was really working, because I feel like in so many ways I'm such a person of real life and mm-hmm. embodiment, and you're right, like sharing music and having the experience of like being a part of the audience is a spiritual experience, and it's a collective one. And I'm mm-hmm. glad that people are still doing the work to try and understand these hybridized versions and to expand upon them. I feel like so much of the world is so dark right now, and something that really drew me to you to talk to you is obviously because of your music and the sounds that you make, but also because the work you've been doing recently on Instagram, which has just been so funny. And and like, I feel like you saying that people have really become like these new media sources from themselves. Do you feel like you could talk more about that or explain what you're doing in these video clips for people who might not know?
Totally. That is funny that I'd said that these festivals and things are becoming media production houses, because I also feel like I've become a media production house.
Exactly.
The apartment has become a media production house. I started a few weeks ago. I just started filming these little like skit, little like mini sketches where I would like often have two characters and like just have the two different angles and have like a little conversation with myself. And some of them are like, a lot of them are just like comments on like what I, like my very like subcultural or whatever community experience, and like things that I just think are really funny and topical and like silly. And I don't know, like I just started doing it, and then people like really responded extremely positively to it and like thought it was really funny. And like I got lots of messages from people that that they just like laughed and thought it brought like a little moment of joy to their day. And it also is this thing that I just like truly enjoy creating. So I just went off and did it. And I think so far I've made like, I don't know, I've done 2 quote unquote seasons. And I think that's like 12 or something videos. And season 3 is dropping any day now.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. I love your one that you do about workshop icebreakers.
Yes.
Definitely a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah. I mean, also just the workshop facilitation one. That one's my favorite too. And it's so near and dear to me because I used to be like a professional facilitator for like 6 years. And there's so much about that world that I like think is really funny, and I think it's like healthy to laugh at it, but not in this like way that's like there's such important work that happens through it. But I also think just some of it is so funny, and like, and all my facilitator friends also agreed that it was hilarious. So I'm not like making fun of that kind of work because I used to do it. Maybe I am kind of making fun of it, but anyway. The very first one I did was like a dating straight men like video where it was a fictional like interaction between me and like a man I was on a date with. And yeah, it maybe was inspired by an actual experience I had with someone who was very nice, but whose apartment is disgusting. And I just made this funny, just tried to make this funny comment on like boys being gross and messy, and people really loved it, especially women who have the experience of dating men.
But yeah, I love these videos, and I feel like it's been really fun to see you finding this voice within yourself and all of these different characters. And you know, obviously, yeah, I was just had been wondering if you were like already involved in comedy or like very used to sharing yourself over the internet in other ways, and like this has been a new platform for you to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always my friend the other, like a couple weeks ago when I first started sharing those videos, said this comment to me that's been in my head, which is, they said like, I always knew you were funny, but I didn't know you were like a good comedian, like good at comedy, which are 2 very different things, right? Mm-hmm. And I always kind of secretly wondered if I could make comedic things, but I never did it because I find it so, it's really intimidating and like scary and vulnerable. And because like, what if you're not funny, you know? Which is why I have so much respect for like stand-up, people who do stand-up. I did do stand-up comedy 1 time, and I didn't tell any of my friends I was doing it. I just did it, and it was at Slut Island like a few years ago, and Taking What We Need was doing like a comedy night, and I did it, and it was one of the most terrifying like things I've ever done. And I find it way more terrifying than like playing a show for a lot of people. But I guess it's also because it's new. But it's also like literally just you and a microphone. So it's a lot. But I really enjoy it. And I'm like very curious to explore other possible like projects in the future. And maybe things that combine my like 2 worlds right now of like music and comedy. I'm actually, just speaking of like what else is on the horizon for me, my album comes out December 4th, and we went back and forth a lot about like what can I do for an album launch show, because I can't like play for people in person. And I wasn't really feeling like just playing a show or Zoom or Instagram Live or whatever. And I wanted to do something different. So I'm actually producing a like 20-ish minute, like comedic, like show, part comedy, part like late night-esque style, and then half a like musical performance show thing that will be my like album launch show, and that'll be on YouTube. So,
gosh, amazing. And it's coming out December 4th.
I think so. I think it'll be the album launch show.
Where are you filming it?
Mostly in my apartment.
I can't wait. That sounds great. Yeah. I feel like we're all like having that challenge of how to step into the online, but through performances, but also be different, and is a great way. That sounds amazing. I can't wait to see your comedy. Your late night.
Or an evening show.
Is that what you're going to call it?
I don't know. I'm just workshopping.
I'm feeling a close. Unfortunately, we have limited time, but I did want to say if you had any other ending comments or if there's something that you wanted to bring up that we didn't necessarily touch on, now would be the time.
None other than I get by the time this airs, my latest song, Alone Together, will be out, and would love people to go listen to it. And also, as of November 6th, people can pre-order my album also. So I'm putting out a few vinyls, a handful of vinyls, a handful of tapes and CDs. But the other thing that I'm really excited about for the album is I created a 10-page like digital art zine that people can, and it's like one really wacky collage per song. And it's just a few bucks if you want to get a zine. If people want like a physical manifestation of the album that isn't like a tape or a CD or whatever. So those are also available. And everything's available off my Bandcamp, which is just eveparkerfinley.bandcamp.com.
Oh my gosh, amazing. I'm so excited that you have a little zine and something to hold.
That's exactly.
That's very thoughtful.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'm very excited to hear your new album. I hope that all of these upcoming projects, you sound super busy and alive right now. but good luck with all of them. Thanks so much for talking with me and spending half of a sunny afternoon in front of a screen.
I mean, it's 4:20 now, so the sun's like pretty much down, but otherwise it was still really nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to F-Files this morning. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Eve Parker Finley as much as I did. She's brilliant. Her music is wonderful and moving. The track that played under our conversation was from a live performance by Montreal artist Ylang Ylang, played at an event this past summer called Oxygen. You also heard tracks from Eve herself. Go check out her album, Chrysalia, released on December 4th.
previously broadcast program.
What's the matter? Is everything all right? That's okay. I've got just the right thing for you. CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome back to If You Got Ears. I'm your host for the next 2 hours, DJ Frog. We're live on CKUT 90.3 FM, coming straight out of downtown Montreal. Well, straight out of Villeray, because we're socially distancing, so the station's closed. But coming straight to you from Montreal regardless, I hope you're all having an absolutely gorgeous day. It's just afternoon, it's been kind of cloudy, so I got some kind of dubby moody music queued up for you. We're going to be listening to some of my favorite long-form extended tracks today. First up, here's Riverman Sound with Carrier. I'll check back with you later.